Let's turn to that portion of scripture that Brother Andrew just read, Psalms chapter number 56. Psalms chapter number 56. And because he's already read that portion, we're going to ask you to keep your place there. But I want to have prayer and then mention to you what this story is about, and we'll go back and look at that a little bit so that we can kind of put everything in place, understand maybe a little bit more what the Lord wants from us today. Let me say the title of the message today is When You Run, You're Done. Amen. When you run, you're done. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the encouragement that you give us, Lord, to stand and having done all to stand. Thank you, Father, that with the song says, Onward, Christian soldiers. No song about retreat. I know there's a time, Lord, that we're to come apart and rest and refresh ourselves, but never a time to back down and defeat and in ruin. And Father, we're more than conquerors, you said, through him that loved us and gave himself for us. And you said, Father, that where sin did abound, there did grace more abound. And so, Father, we know today that we have victory in Christ. We thank you for the truth. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Now, Father, would you direct my thinking? And then, Lord, as we expound on the scriptures, as we preach, as we try to proclaim the word of God, I pray that you give those people here the mind to think and to reason together with you and to examine whether these things be so. Father, I pray for victories in our lives today, and more than that, even glory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go into Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 21. And we're not going to read very much of this, but we want to pick up on this story. We find that King David has been on the run. And he's on the run because of sin. We'll mention that a little bit later. But beginning in verse number 10, we find that the Bible says, And David arose and fled that day for fear, there's that word, for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now Gath, you remember where the giant was from, Goliath of Gath. So David is running to the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, you see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman or madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And so here, this is the place where David is at the writing of Psalms chapter 56. Or he's writing about that time in Psalms chapter 56. Now, while believers, we're told that we are to flee from sin. The Bible says flee fornication, for an example. We're supposed to flee from sin. But we're cautioned that running because of fear of some man never settles anything. The fact that we are to face our problems rather than to run from them is illustrated in Ephesians chapter number 6 when God describes to us our armor for being in the battle. We have a helmet of salvation. We have a breastplate of righteousness. We have a shield of faith. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have shoes for the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your entire body is covered with the exception of the back. And when you turn your back to the enemy, you are open to be hurt real bad. And so the Bible says we are to face our enemy, not flee from him. Now David is in terrible trouble in Psalms chapter 56. And he's in that trouble because of sin. Could I suggest when you get into trouble, maybe you ought to stop and ask the Lord, am I in trouble because of sin? The Lord is a reasonable father. And if he is chastening you because of sin and you ask him, he'll tell you. He'll tell you. And then you have the opportunity to get things right. Well, David is in this problem because of sin. He's disobeyed. He's lied. And in the text we read before in 1 Samuel chapter 21, he went and with a lie, he procured victuals for himself, eating for himself. And then the showbread was given for David and for his men. And then he left. But in the process of doing that, he also procured the murder of at least 85 people. And as a result of that, he runs again. And so the sequence of David's life at this point is he sins, he runs because of a lack of faith, disbelief and disobeying seem like they go together. When you disobey God, it's easy to run from the thing that God wants you to do. When you obey God, you'll find that you're standing for the things God wants you to do. Now, David lacked faith because he had lacked time in the Word of God. Have you ever been too busy to read the Bible? Have you ever been too busy to spend time with God? Have you ever been too busy or something else was too important? You're leaving yourself wide open to a lot of problems when you do that. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, the Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you need a lift in your faith, you need to spend more time in the Word of God. You can pray for faith and pray for faith and pray for faith. That's probably not going to do you much good. But when you sit down and read the Word of God, wanting God to increase your faith, I believe with all my heart He can do that. You remember when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he met a daddy who had a devil-possessed boy, and he's talking to the living Word of God. And Jesus spoke to him, and he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And him speaking to the living Word of God gave him faith to believe what Jesus was going to do. When you spend time in this book, you'll have faith that you never knew you had. Faith will begin to develop in you and display itself in you that you never knew you had when you spend time in the Word of God. Now, in spite of this man, this formerly great man, even a giant of faith, you know, the examples of David's faith run throughout the Bible, but there's at least three of them that are famous, and I think one of them that's even a greater example than those. First off, he killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. That's a pretty good thing for a boy that's probably 17 or 18 years old. And then he killed a giant. Never lost a battle, this giant, Goliath. Huge man. I mean, he was the atomic power of his day. And David, under the power of God, was able to kill this man. But even greater than that, David was able, by faith, to captivate and control his own spirit. Yesterday I saw a sign, and it said, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like the city that is broken down without walls. How true that is. Remember when David was hiding one day in a cave? I believe it was a cave of Adullam, I think. I might be corrected on that. David was hiding way back in the cave. Must have been a huge cave. Must have been several cutoffs from it and so forth. But David's there. And Saul, who was looking for him, came and stayed right in the same cave overnight. And David's men are saying, psst, David, there's your enemy. He's asleep right out by the door. David, why don't you kill him? And David said, no. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. David said, I can't kill him. I can't kill him. And David's faith took a hold of the Spirit of God, who, well, I'm sure that David in his own strength wanted to kill Saul. What a wonderful release if Saul was off of his back, if Saul were dead. But David's faith said, no, you can't do that. Well, David ended up slipping up beside Saul while Saul's asleep, and he cut off the hem of his robe. The next morning, Saul got up and he goes outside in the sunshine. He's stretching everything and probably feeling breezes where he hadn't felt breezes for a long time. And David comes out behind him, and David has this piece of his robe that he's cut off. And David even apologizes to God for having done that. He could have cut his throat. He could have run a dagger through his heart. But the faith that David had, the same faith it took to kill the lion and the bear and the giant, God gave David to control his own spirit. And God will give us that control if we're in the right place at the right time, having spent the right amount of time in this blessed book. God wants to give us faith. Now, how's David going to get from the place where he's at, which is a place of sin and running, shame and sorrow, how's he going to get from there back to where God can say again, this is a man after my own heart? How's he going to do that? Well, let's notice some things from Psalms chapter 56 today. First off, let me say this. When you want to get to where God wants you to go, you need to start where you're at. Life has no rewind button. My wife and I, as we're watching TV, I'll say, what did they say? She said, I don't know. I didn't hear either. Crank the volume up and hit rewind, hit it again. Oh, that's what he said. Life doesn't have that button on it. Now, I thank God today that there is a verse that we ought to remember once in a while. When we're right with Him, He says to us, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. God sometimes sends these things into our lives to get our attention. And God says, when you turn back to me, God said, I don't have any problem restoring what the canker worms and all those enemies ate and the locusts. I don't have any problem restoring those things if you'll just be right with me. And so we find that David says, you've got to start right now. David came to a place where he said, I've got to start now. I can't go back to the place where I killed the giant. I can't go back to the place where I cut the hem off of Saul's robe. I can't go back. I can't go back. I can't go back. And it's looking like right now, if it's up to me, I'll never go forward because I'm going to die. David says, you've got to start where you're at. So many times we want to wait until we get so much money in the bank, or until we've moved to that certain place, or until we've gone on a certain amount of vacations, or until we've some other nonsensical thing. If you want to be right with God, the place to start is right exactly where you're at right now. Never be a better place than right now. And then we find the Bible testifies that David counts on mercy. Oh, thank God for mercy. The songwriter said, when I deserve justice, He gave me mercy. When bonds held me fast, He set me free. That ought to be the song that every one of us sings today, because Jesus Christ makes us free, and if the Son make you free, you're free indeed, the Bible says. Now, merciful is mentioned in the Bible 36 different times. And so that you really understand what mercy is, the first mention of the word merciful. You know, the law of first mentions, and I mentioned this again, we've talked about this a number of times, but the law of first mention in your Bible studying is that if you find a place that the word is used first in the Bible, find out what it means there, chances are it means that all the rest of the way through the Bible, unless God gives you a definite change of it, and you know that from what God has said. The first mention for the word merciful is found in Genesis chapter 19 in verse number 16. Now, if you're familiar with that, that's the chapter in which God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for the wickedness of their sin. And God sends angels down into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah to get Lot and his family out of there. And Lot was like a lot of people when we start talking about the rapture. You know, I know Christians today that are singing, "Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. I'm just about to get my 401k. I'm just about ready to pay off my house. I'm just about ready to get my kids through college. Oh, Jesus, wait just a little." And to get us out of here, God's going to have to call the Holy Spirit out of here. And when He goes out, He takes anyone that's sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way God's going to get some of us out of the world, by the rapture. If God just opened up a door and said, "Y'all come if you want to," a lot of people who I think really are saved wouldn't go. They'd be wanting to wait for a better time. Well, the Bible testifies that in this time, when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot is a saved person. He's just. He's a righteous man, he tells us in the New Testament. And he's acting just exactly like the lost world's acting. So God says he's got to get out of there. I can't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot gets out of there. And so the Bible says in Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 16, "And while Lot lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city." That's what God's talking about when he talks about merciful. And David said, "I need mercy. I need God's mercy." I hear people say, "I don't care about mercy, just give me justice." If God gave any one of us here today justice, he'd drop us into hell so fast we wouldn't have time to take our boots off. If we receive today what we have earned and what we have merited and what we owe, if we received that today, we'd be in hell today for the rest of eternity. We need God's mercy. We need God's mercy. And of course, the Bible tells us, when we think about mercy and merciful, the Bible tells us God describes himself. This is God's description of himself to Moses. The Bible says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed." Now this is God speaking. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. God says one of his main characteristics, when God is going to describe himself, the very first word he uses is merciful. Merciful. We have a merciful Heavenly Father. Now David, according to verses 1 and 2 of our text, David needs help every day. The Bible says here in verse number 1, it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for a man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up." You see, it's a daily battle. So many times Christians will go through a problem and they get up and they have victory over that problem. They say, "Whoo, thank God that's over." And they start celebrating, only to find out that tomorrow they have another problem. Because God's wanting us to stay close to Him. And so David needs daily help. But the Lord makes that help available to His people. Listen. Every day. Now let me ask you, did you meet with the Lord this morning? Did you sit down with your Bible and open it up and say, "God, I want you to speak to my heart today. I want you to give me your mercy, your grace, your compassion. I want to be more like Jesus when I get up from reading the Bible today." Did you do that this morning? Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. And they are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." And so David understands. Doesn't matter that he killed a giant. Doesn't matter that he controlled his own spirit and his own attitude. Doesn't matter. What matters is God's mercy. David says, "I've got to have God's mercy." And then David said, "With God's mercy, I recognize the divine plan of God." In verse number 3, he says, "I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust in thee, he says in verse number 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And so David says, I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to trust my sling anymore. I'm not going to trust my wisdom anymore. I'm not going to trust my being fleet of foot. I'm not going to trust anything physical about me. From here on out, if ever I get afraid again, I'm going to trust the Lord. You trust the Lord today? Really? Do you trust the Lord today? Do you believe he says what he means and means what he says? Do you believe that he has your very best at his heart? Do you believe that if he had to, he would give everything he has just to convince you? In fact, he did. He gave his only begotten son just to bring you into his family. That's how much he loves you, and we forget that sometimes. And David says, I was afraid and I ran from the fear of men. But from now on, Lord, he said, if I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in you. In verse number 4, he says, in God I will praise his word. How long has it been since you praised the word of God or praised the God of the word for the word? How long has it been? You say, well, how would I praise the word? Number 1, you'd read it. Number 2, you'd study it. Number 3, you'd hide it in your heart that you'd not sin against God. Next, you would live it before a lost and a dying world. And then, you'd certainly share it with other people. David said, I'll praise his word. I'm going to praise God's word. And then he says in verse number 4, I will not fear. And in verse number 11, he says, I will not be afraid. I'll not be afraid. Now, fear is mentioned 385 times in your Bible. Some form of fear. The first time is found in Genesis chapter 9, verse number 2. This is what the Bible says. As God is speaking to Noah, this is what God says to Noah. And the fear of you, that's God speaking to Noah, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the field, upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. You see, the things of earth were to fear us, not us fear them. Today we have people locking their doors because they don't know when the mountain lion's coming. Locking their cattle in the barn because they don't know when the mountain lion's coming or the wolf is coming. Just people scared to death of the creation of God when God said, listen, if we're right with him, they fear us. We don't fear them. That's the first use of the word fear. It's used 384 times after that. The last time it's used is in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 5. The Bible says, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his saints, and ye that fear him, both great and small. Here the Bible testifies we're to fear God. We're not to fear the animals. We're not to fear one another. We're not to fear the weather. We're not to fear global warming. We're supposed to fear God. Not all these other things that the world has us all stirred up about. We're supposed to fear God. Someone says, well, how do you fear God? You choose to. You choose to. Someone says, oh, it can't be that simple. Well, listen, this is the book written so that simple people would have wisdom. What book was that? Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 29, it says, for that they hated knowledge, listen, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. When you choose to fear the Lord, you can fear him. And to fear him, it doesn't mean running around with an umbrella over your head because you know that God's getting ready to knock your head off. You know, God's going to put your head on a golf tee and slap it. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just being afraid to disappoint him, wanting to hold him in high esteem, wanting to put him in his place by putting us in our place. When I realize that I'm the servant, not to be served, I'm supposed to be his servant. He's supposed to be the master. I'm supposed to be the servant. And when we have that kind of a relationship, The fear of the Lord is made by choice. Someone said, he that fears the Lord need fear none else. Now think with me on that. He that fears the Lord need fear none else. I believe that's a good thought. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And then could I say to you today that fear is infectious? Fear is infectious. David feared Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 21. It wasn't very long before David feared Achish, the king of Gath, in in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And then we're afraid of something else, and we're afraid of something else, and we're afraid of something else. And fear is infectious. It starts out with some little thing that you're afraid of, and then all of a sudden it grows and it grows and it grows. It's infectious. How we need to understand that. And then the Bible says another thing David says, I'm going to do in verse number 12. He says, I will render praise. I will render praise. Someone might be here today and you're a believer. You remember when it was you gave your heart to Christ. You've trusted Him. You've known the joy of serving Him. You've seen Him answer prayers that no one thought could be answered. But it seems like He's distant from you, like He's far away, like He's turned His back and maybe walked away. The Bible says that the Lord wants to inhabit the praises of His people. I believe if we praise God, all of a sudden we'll find that He'll come from the far corners of the world. It'll just seem like He just came over and began to visit us when we just praise Him. We thank Him for life. We thank Him for... How long has it been since you thanked God for America? Oh, America needs us to thank God for America. And we need to pray for our nation and our nation's leaders. We need to do that. And when we're thankful, when we're right with God, that's an easy thing to do. Sir, how long has it been since you thanked God for your spouse? Mama, how long has it been since you thanked God for the daddy of your children? We are a thankless people. We need to be thankful. God has given us so many things to be thankful for. And when we realize that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning, when we realize that good wife, that good husband, those good children, those good parents, that good job, that good car, that good house, every good gift is from God, it's easy to say thank you for that. But when we think, my hands did that, my mind did that, my health did that, my education did that, then we become thankless and we begin to pat ourselves on the back instead of praising God. And God doesn't vacate our life, but it seems like He steps aside and we can't hear Him, we can't see Him, we can't sense Him. But if we'll start praising Him like we should, He'll get closer and closer, it seems. Now, He can't get closer to us than He already is. But it can appear that He's drawn away. And it can appear that He's come. He just makes Himself real to us. That's what it amounts to. And all of a sudden, we'll hear Him say, this is the way. This is the path. Walk ye in it. Turn right. Turn left. Stop. Don't go there. Do this. Do that. And we'll sense Him communicating with us. And all of a sudden we realize that the decisions we're making, they're not from my wisdom. They're not from my health. They're not from my ancestry. But they're from God Himself. And we begin to praise Him even more. David said, I'm going to praise God. If I die right here, I'm going to praise God. Notice what he said. The last verse. Notice what he says. He says, for thou hast, that's past tense, thou hast delivered my soul from death. David said, I know I'm saved spiritually. I know I have eternal, everlasting, shall never perish life. I know that. That's a done deal. Nothing can change that, David said. He says, Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. David said, I know my soul's saved. Lord, if you'll save my physical now, he said, I'll walk before you in the light of the living. And when men shine a light on me, Lord, if you'll do what I've asked you to do, they'll see Jesus in me. Oh, how the world needs to see Jesus. The world doesn't need to see Brother Sutton. But it could do the world a lot of good to see Jesus in me. And if I praise him like I'm supposed to, if I'll be thankful like I'm supposed to be, I can walk, what does the Bible say? I may walk before God in the light of the living. The world today is investigating everything. Wanting to know this and wanting to know that, or saying they want to know. Sometimes they don't really want to know, but they're saying they want to know. They're investigating everything. They take a light and they shine it on everything. Everything. I mean, they're checking under the benches and up in the attic. They're checking everywhere. Look, and the light of the living. We're going to walk before God. So that as the world investigates our life, they don't see us. They see the Lord Jesus. That's what David wanted. That's what David needed. And that's what God was willing to do for David if he'd just do what he's supposed to do. So how about you today? Do you want to walk before God in the land of the living? When you talk to your kids about spiritual things, wouldn't it be wonderful to hear them say, I really believe you believe that. Something different in your life now. I really do believe you believe that. I think you really do mean that. The neighbor that's been so grouchy, complained about everything. They've been investigating you. And incidentally, if you've told them you go to Bethel Baptist Church, they've been investigating our church by investigating you. And when you walk in the light of the Lord, they look at you, they watch you, they say, wow, this is not just him, this is not just her, this is not just them, this is the Lord. When you run, you're done. But at the end of your run, you can get right with the Lord. If you'll stop, turn around, take note of what God says, you can have victory in your life, and you can leave here with it today. If you want to. But just like Jesus won't force you to get saved, he's not going to force you to live right either. But just like you'll be sorry if you don't get saved, God can make us wish we'd have served him also. Let's bow our heads, please.